Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. There is something happening in your church and the church down the street and the church down the street and churches all across America that is kind of startling and disturbing at the same time. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I'm Dan Hurst. Mark Halleck sitting over there joining us as we discuss this generational exit, if you will, from the church. And this idea is that we're seeing glimpses of young people turning to Christ in some high schools and colleges. We've seen that most recently, you know, in a number of different college campuses across America. And that thrills us, of course. But the truth of the matter is the overall picture in North America is that young people are leaving their faith much sooner than ever before. And I'm talking about church kids.
Yes.
And kids who are in the church.
Yep.
And they make a decision at some point, much younger now than they ever have before, that they're going to leave the church. So what's unique about these kids that have been born within the last few years, now they're in junior high school? The fact of the matter is they're losing or leaving their faith earlier.
That's right. And we've got an article by Lifeway Research that we'll attach to this podcast on the show notes. So you can read the article, read all of the details. We're not going to get into all the numbers and statistics. But here is the big picture. A few decades ago, most of the time it was around senior in high school when you really began to say, you know, my faith's just not that important to me. It was my parents' faith. I'm going to go do my own thing. And we all know how we lost a lot of kids after their senior year. Part of that was because they spent their whole youth group on a bus going to a pizza party or a skating party mm-hmm. rather than being discipled. But that's
right.
Another story for another day. So, you know, that was senior. Well, and then, you know, not long after that, as time moved on, people who do these kinds of studies, and Lifeway Research has it in there, that began to move down. So it wasn't just like 18-year-olds that were walking away and saying, no, I don't, this isn't important to me anymore. Now it was like sophomores in high school, you know, freshmen in high school, first year of high school. Now my faith's not important to me anymore. Now they may still go to church because they don't have the only reason they can't. I mean, their parents make them go, right? But in their own mind, by their own definition, as they answer these survey questions, they will tell you, no, faith is not important to me anymore. And that used to be primarily at the senior high level, and then it moved to like the freshman year level. And what this research from Lifeway has shown is really shocking. Now it's increasing in the early middle school level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they go through all of high school and then they say, you know, my faith's not really important to me. They're saying it at 12.
Sure.
At 13.
Well, I remember when I started in the ministry full time, and I was working with youth, and I used to say, in fact, when we were developing the curriculum for Disciple Now, I remember this, that we would talk about this. If we can reach a kid by seventh grade,
yeah,
then we'll have them through high school. They'll stay with the youth ministry. That's not true anymore.
Yeah, and I think what we have to understand, and I think we know this, but we have to process what does it mean in the context of what we're doing with church revitalization and just pastoring churches, is that if teenagers are denying and walking away and saying faith is not important to me at a constantly earlier and earlier and earlier age, we have to come to terms with the reality that they are being bombarded at an earlier age with all kinds of secular media, secular impulses, things that perhaps two or three generations ago they would not have been bombarded with. Obviously, Mark, it's social media, it's Snapchat, it's Instagram, it's texting, it's TikTok. Talk to me about a 12-year-old exposed to all of that today, which was not the case 20 years ago. 12-year-olds were not exposed to that.
Yeah, well, and the problem is not only are they taking in all of this media, all of this worldly thinking, but it's isolated young people. So in other words, like think about when we were kids. We used to actually go play outside.
Right.
We used to go do stuff outside and interact. And in fact, I just read a recent article on some research that's been done recently on how part of the reason why so many young people are staying in their parents' basements until they're like 30 is because at a young age, they weren't really allowed to go be adventurous and actually take risks and make mistakes and do stuff when they're little. So all this to say is we've got to be really aware of the fact that Satan is not neutral and the world is not neutral when it comes to infecting our children's minds and their hearts. And so with social media, obviously, pick your poison. Again, not that it's all evil. It can be used for good, obviously. But we've got to be really honest about the fact that so many young people are being affected negatively by the messages coming at them all the time.
How long have you been in the ministry, Mark?
Man, I've been in ministry now for, I'm 46, so since I was 20, so 26 years.
So in 26 years, what's the shift that you've seen in youth commitments?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's been crazy. Because, you know, I was a youth pastor my first 12 years. And it was just a different time, man. I mean, it's like phones, obviously, iPhones, kids were just starting to get phones, not really smartphones, it was still flip phones. Mm-hmm. And so their attention span was different, you know, you could actually talk to a kid and they're not like looking at their phone every 2 seconds. There was a desire at the priority of community, like youth ministry has changed a lot, in just recent years. And I would say a lot of that is, to be honest, I think a lot of parents aren't any better than their kids. You know what I mean? In this regard.
Yeah. So, we all look at our phones all the time too. We're all on it all the time. It has yet to be determined what this impact of social media is going to do on younger and younger people. But I guess we can say with some certainty that it certainly plays a part in the fact that teenagers are giving up on their faith and saying it's not important to me anymore at a younger age. And certainly it has to do with all the influences they're getting around them through social media and through other things, through the culture in general.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, it is more costly today for a 14-year-old boy or girl to say, I believe in biblical marriage.
That's right.
I believe in human sexuality as a man and a woman. Yep. I believe it's much more costly today than it was 20 years ago, years ago.
That's right. That's right.
I don't think we fully understand.
Yes.
And they may not have, we may not have given them the theological basis, the doctrinal standard, all of that stuff to really live in this world.
That's right.
That's the point of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen,
is
that they are bombarded with stuff that we can't really, you know, we're older, we don't believe that, all that's not right. But then it's all their peers believe it.
Yeah, it's reality.
And the one thing you want to be is accepted. You don't want to be left out.
Yeah.
And the constant peer pressure
to
believe these things and yet for them to stand up and say, look, even 20 years ago, if you said you were a Christian, you went to a Baptist church, maybe you're a little square, but whatever. Now, you're the problem.
Yeah,
you're a bigot.
You're a bigot.
You're
a
hate. You hate speech.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we got to get, you really are. And if you want to be popular now, then you're a victim, right?
Yeah. That's right.
You're a victim. You fix some group and you're going to become that fringe group.
Yeah.
And now you're protected because you're a victim, and you're a victim because people like you who go to church hate me.
Yeah.
And do we realize how do 12 and 13-year-olds in church, if we haven't given them the real tools, how are they going to really function in that world? Well, they're not.
That's right.
And that's why at a younger and younger age, they're leaving the church.
Yep. And parents, our parents have no clue, many of them, what to do with this.
No. They don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to talk about it, and they're living fear. And so we have to be proactive.
Well, remember, their parents are part of that immigration away from the church.
That's true.
You know, you got to figure their parents are in their 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And so that means that their parents were from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, and the research says that the parents born in the 80s and 90s did not have the same sort of formative home experience that their parents would have had.
Exactly.
That's right.
So they're, it's that's
well, and I'm a product. I mean, again, I'm a product. I'm an 80s and 90s kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest rate of divorce. I mean, so my, I hardly, I mean, this is not an exaggeration. Most of my friends' parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. My parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. Christian parents, you know.
Right.
And so what does that do to a generation of Gen Xers? It kind of destabilizes
a lot of things.
And so
when Gen Xers have kids,
yes,
then it just kind of snowballs.
That's exactly right.
As you would say.
Well, yeah. Then let me ask this question, because we've already addressed it, but let's focus in on this. Why do so many dying churches have so few young people?
I know. As we look at this, you know, if you've got a few young people, you need to hang on to them, right? But if you're a dying church, the one thing they often don't have are young people, whether it's teenagers or young adults or those kinds of things. And they say, well, we'd love to attract young people. Well, do you really understand how young people are struggling in this world today?
Do you fully understand the
needs that they have? Or are you thinking it's like it was in the 1970s?
Mm-hmm.
I was an interim director of missions. You know, I try to keep 5 or 6 jobs going at one time in case one of them doesn't pan out. So I was the interim director of missions in a rural association a few years ago for a while. And I was visiting every church in my association. All of them, nearly every one of them, was a normative-sized church of 50 or less. Mm-hmm. Most of them are rural. We're in this little town of about 400 people. The pastor was 82. He'd been there for 25, 30 years, maybe longer. And the church was down to less than a dozen. And so I sat across from him and his wife, and I said, brother, you know, there were no children, no young people at all. I said, "What? If you could have anything here at all, what would it be? How could I help you?" And without hesitation, he said, you know, he said, boy, we used to have a youth choir, and it met every Sunday night, and they mm-hmm. practiced. And then they'd come up with a youth musical, and they'd take that around to the churches here in our state and sometimes out of state. And, man, it was great. And he said, honey, when was that? And she said, well, I think that was – maybe 77, 78, something like that. Mm. I'm thinking, those days are not going to come back, uh-huh, dude. You know, the kids in this neighborhood right now, in this town, who don't go to church, yeah. I mean, they're looking at stuff on TikTok. They're watching videos that are just most ungodly things.
Yep.
You got 14-year-old boys today, because of their iPhone, they see more nude women than men saw in their lifetime 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And they see it in one afternoon.
Yep.
Right? What are we up against here?
Yeah.
You know, and to understand the needs these kids have and the burden that they're under, it's not 1977.
Yep.
So, but they need Jesus and they need help.
Amen.
And so how do dying churches understand that? And man, the context that we're in. And by the way, even if your kids are homeschooled, you know, and again, that does provide a different culture, but just because they're homeschooled, don't think they're not exposed to other stuff in the world as well. So I think dying churches, they have so few young people because they don't understand the needs of young people. Mm-hmm. They're fearful of young people and the way they behave.
Yeah.
We're at Midwestern Seminary, and Jared Wilson course is here at the school. And I know Jared famously said one time, a lot of Christians don't really care whether anybody gets saved or not. We just wish people would live right.
Mm.
And so here's what I'm saying. If you're in a dying church and your first impulse about youth is, number one, I wish we had a choir full of them. Okay, that's because you like nostalgia. You'd like to have it like it used to be. Or number two, I wish they'd straighten up and not listen to that music and not drive that way and not dress that way and not talk that way. You're missing it.
That's right.
Your response to these teenagers has to be a brokenness and a passion and a compassion for them.
Yeah.
Why so many dying churches don't have young people? It's two reasons. The decisions they've made that they should have made, or decisions they didn't make that they should have made, that would make this place a place where young people can flourish.
Mm.
They've done something in their past that have made this place a place where young people can't flourish, because young people will go to church.
Yeah.
Dan, tell us about the time you were at a church in a city that was next to a lake community. And the church was a large church, but almost nobody from the lake community came there.
Correct.
And so you started a church in the lake community clubhouse while you were on staff of the church outside of the lake community.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, the interesting thing was, we were trying to find a way that we could connect with those families, because we weren't doing it. And so we said, we've got to do some research and figure out, how do we find people, how do we connect with people that we're obviously not connecting with. And so we started introducing ourselves to some kids and getting to know kids and doing things with the kids. And kids started going, oh, okay, this is a place that's safe. This would be kind of cool to go to. And they'd come and we'd do some fun things that they liked doing. We didn't define it, as long as it was certainly within the realm of appropriateness. And what happened was in a church, the church within a year grew to about 75 people, 90% of them were teenagers.
Wow, that's incredible.
90% of them. And when we then we followed up with them and said, let's talk to your parents. You know, why don't you come and participate with what we are, what we're doing and everything. And the parents said, oh, I don't need that. You know.
So here's the good news about this podcast. The good news is, the gospel still permeates, the gospel still transforms, and young people need the gospel.
Oh, the Holy Spirit's at work today as he was you know, a million years ago.
Right. But the challenge for the church today is I don't think most of our churches, including even me, don't fully understand the context that 12 and 13, 11-year-olds are in right now and all that they're bombarded with. And the result of that is they're walking away from their faith earlier than any other generation.
But it's also part of the way that that generation or that those kids are defining church.
That's true.
You know, they're walking away from something that is irrelevant to them.
That's right, because we've made it irrelevant to
them. Exactly.
And we've babysat them rather than teach them real things on how to handle this world and how to be Christ in the, how to live like Christ in this world. We've really just try to babysit them and keep them. And just like my dear pastor friend I talked about, he just wanted him in the choir loft. You know, just if we could just get him singing, just get him here on Sunday nights, rather than, you know, how do we really understand the context of where they are and all the needs that they have? So the question for you as you listen to this podcast is, what are the teenagers like in your church? You know, are they growing in their faith? Are they mature? Can they handle this world that they find themselves in? How are you giving them those tools? Because if you're not, You are not being the shepherd you need to be, and you are risking very much because the world is after them like never before, and the world will capture them, and we will see them in a younger and younger generation walking away and saying, you know, my faith is simply not important to me. I think we're going to look in the next podcast at some ways that you can help ensure the things we're talking about don't happen. I mean, that's really important. But the point of this podcast is to let you know these things are happening. And you can't walk away and you can't ignore them. And you can't assume that they're going to get better on their own because they're absolutely not. This world is not getting better. It's going to get worse. And I think we have to understand, Pastor, we're in a new context. We're not on home court advantage anymore.
You, in one of our podcasts recently, you talked about how one of the ways that you begin your ministry is a season of prayer where your people really focus on who are we? We're the people of God, and that means we've got to connect with him and really get a sense of what it is that he wants to do in and through our lives. And your people need to understand it's not just the pastor that needs to know the answers to what you're talking about, but your people need to know
That's right. That's right.
They need to know why these kids consider them irrelevant.
I'm really excited because actually this podcast is one of the lamest ones we've ever done because we're trying to find a topic to talk about, and we seem to be all over the page. We thought we knew what we were doing when we sat down. But trust me, the next one where we give you solutions to this, it's going to go in the podcast hall of fame.
Let me explain something to you. Halleck and I know what's going on here. Okay. We're focused, you know.
Can I do that? Can I make one recommendation?
Yes, go ahead.
In light of this, maybe one practical takeaway.
Sure.
There's a book written a few years ago called "You Lost Me." Have you seen this book? Kinnaman?
I've not.
Excellent book. The subtitle is Why Young Christians Are Leaving Church and Rethinking Faith.
Okay.
And so I would just highly recommend, if you want to learn more about what is going on here in this culture, why are young people leaving the church, You Lost Me by David Kinnaman. It's a great primer.
Put it in the show notes. And again, if you're in a dying and declining church, I would imagine you don't have a whole plethora of young people. And unless you come to terms with why they're leaving and the struggles they're having, you're not going to be able to reach them. But if you do come to terms with that, there are lots of things, lots of opportunities. So in the next podcast, we're going to look at three things the church can do to help young people remain in their faith, and three things the home can do to help young people remain in their faith.
This was just the introduction.
This was just the introduction. It's like your sermon. You spend too much time on the introduction, and you realize, well, that was too long.
You know, when your introduction to your sermon has 3 points in a poem, you know you've gone too far.
All right.
We're going to wrap it up a little short today than we normally.
It seemed a lot longer.
But one thing that we're going to discover, and just give you a little taste of what we're going to talk about, your children and your kids are defining don't define church as faith.
No.
You know, they don't define faith as church.
Right.
And so that's just a little taste of what we're going to be talking about. Those are little discoveries that will help you in discovering how to connect and reconnect with your kids. I hope you'll join us, and I hope you'll feel free to share this with your people and share it with other pastors and help them grow in their faith. And I get the wraparound sign from Kyle.
You're getting that sign like either keep talking or stop talking.
I got a clock here. It says we got plenty of time.
What
are you talking about?
Look, all we got to do is put another quarter in the machine, and we can keep going for another 15 minutes.
In the meantime, we'll stick another quarter and see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.